Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:15, and that is Pacific Summer Time. And today is May 4th, and my kids went running off to school this morning, giggling at the May the 4th be with you, which gives you an idea of just how well Disney has marketed Star Wars since they took it over. And considering that this has been such a difficult earnings season, and Disney will be reporting its earnings on the 10th. I think a lot of people will be looking at that because it's a share that has held up better than some of the others. But one has to expect that considering what the kind of response that we've had to different earnings is pretty similar going forward, that we're in a period where single stock volatility is increasing. And it isn't just single stock volatility any longer, but that what we now have evidence of is that the VIX index is also starting to firm up here, and it's firming from reasonably low levels, but there's been a progression of higher reaction lows evident for the last couple of weeks now, and it was off its high in here today, and the majority of indices were on Wall Street were off their lows, but it's still looking like that these things can go higher from here. And I think realistically, if this is the extent of the reaction that we've had from what was just a remarkably impressive advance, and then the resistance at the upper side of the range, if it was going to be this shallow, then we would see a countermanding upward dynamic. And that really is what anyone who is really hoping for the most bullish scenario would have to look for to countermand current potential for additional tests of underlying trading, and that would suggest that prices will trade back down towards, perhaps not all the way back down to the January low, but certainly closer to the low, or at least to the extent that there is any certainty. But if we go for in terms of the potential is that prices will trade much closer to the January low than they do to the April high over the next month. Then when you look at Wall Street, what we're presented with today is the S&P closing out the day in the region of 2050, and that is just about the region of the progression of higher reaction lows. And if one were to draw a midpoint danger line in the course of that uptrend from the January low, well, we're just about testing it now. So a move below 2050 would really start, I think, to begin to pressure some stops in here. The Nasdaq has already broken the progression of higher reaction lows, and it was down 28 today, and down on the Nasdaq 100 to test the 4300 area. When we look at the index, then you were presented with a progression of lower rally highs since July of last year, and that really does need to be broken if the medium-term bullish a view is to be credible. And in the meantime, then it is looking increasingly likely that we are going to see some additional selling pressure. And then both the Russell 2000 and the Dow Transports Index had sustained perhaps more impressive rallies, having pulled back sharply, but they're now right in the region of their respective 200-day moving averages, and they have paused. And then I think a lot of people will be looking at the progression of higher reaction lows. So there isn't really any question that we are in a more risky environment. Now, I led off yesterday's audio talking about the dollar, and I hadn't looked at all the currency crosses before I recorded the audio, but I did it in today's click through. And I do a click through of over 200 instruments every morning, just to give me an idea of where we are in terms of the market environment. And there were upside key day reversals for the dollar yesterday against the Canadian dollar, the British pound, the New Zealand dollar, the Norwegian krone, the Swedish kroner, and I'm sure there were a few more. Then we've had a number of others rallying as well, and there were a number of Asian currencies where there was a dollar rally, and we've seen a number of those Asian currencies really bouncing emphatically over the last 4 months from really deep oversold conditions, and now we're getting the consolidation of that. We really do have to look at the dollar in terms of various baskets. And when we look at the dollar index, and that really is euro and yen, it's not really very much of anything else. So the pound and the Swiss franc and the Australian dollar are in there, but their relative weightings compared to the euro and the yen are pretty much insignificant. And then when we look at that, and that it had an emphatic move yesterday and a tiny bit of a follow through in here today, then it's looking increasingly likely that the dollar is finding support at the lower side of that range. But it was perhaps most oversold against the commodity currencies, because we've had such a big move in energy and oil in particular. So then with some of that dollar bearishness now being brought into question, and we're certainly not in a situation where oil prices are racing ahead right now, but they were stable in here today, and we don't yet have an answer just how far our energy price is likely to rally. There will be a point where where it will be economic for supply to come back into the market, and we may be reasonably close to that area when producers can hedge their 12-month exposure at about $50 a barrel. The fire in Alberta that has displaced upwards of 80,000 people in the Fort McMurray area is certainly a bullish catalyst for oil in the short term. But there are medium-term considerations, and one of those is that energy efficiency, and particularly the emissions requirements, are driving the ability of cars to go further on less fuel. And then the evolution of the electric vehicle market and the compressed natural gas market, that also represents a challenge for the energy sector. So then and it's been our base case for at least a year, is that it is much more likely that we're going to enter an extremely volatile period of ranging rather than a trending environment for energy prices, but that the peak to trough swings within that range are going to be enormously volatile. So we've had a very large pullback. We've had an almost equally impressive rally, but that doesn't suggest that we're not going to continue in that cycle, that we're going to have this very volatile up and down swings. And the key consistency of the 4 month advance in oil prices, particularly Brent, is reactions have been limited to between $5 and $6, and the reaction so far is only about $3. So you really would need to see a reaction of more than $6 and more like $7 to really suggest that there is any kind of change happening here. Well, then, when we look at that in terms of the dollar and the commodity currencies, well, those commodity currencies rallied a lot, and now they really do look like we're going to get some respite in terms of that rally. Then you look at the emerging markets, and particularly in Asia, and there were a number of those currencies, not least the Philippine peso, which is well on its way back down to test its low. And there's a political dimension to that as well, because there's a presidential election coming up, and then there's a very open question as to just how much influence China is having on that election. So that's weighing on the Philippine peso. But this was a weekday just about everywhere for currencies versus the dollar, following through from what was a very big move yesterday. Now, if the dollar is rallying, then that does represent a headwind for commodities, but particularly the precious metals. And gold hadn't rallied as much as the others, so it's unlikely to pull back as much as the others. But it was down about $6 in here today, and closing out the day around $1,279. Silver is also pulling back. It's gone down 3 days in a row, and it had gone up more than gold, so it does have more room to pull back and still remain in a medium-term bullish environment. That's very much the same case with the gold shares, which had exploded higher, and that NYSE Arca Gold Bugs Index had more than doubled since the beginning of the year. So that really is an indication that there is plenty of potential there for a further pullback before they begin to find support once more. And it really is worth considering that this doesn't really question the medium-term bullish environment, but rather it's a short-term consideration, because the medium-term downtrend has been broken. Gold continues to look like that this was nothing more than a first step above the base, the type 2 base, and that what's looking like it is that it's nothing more than just some consolidation rather than any kind of medium-term peak. Then elsewhere in the commodity complex, it was a weak day yesterday, but what we also have is that there are some commodities are still going higher, and sugar is very much moving to its own drumbeat here, and it was it broke out to another new high in here today. So it does behoove us to really look at some of these commodities and look at them on their individual merits. So and certainly sugar is one of those, and lumber is also continuing to move higher here. And with the potential that this pullback on Wall Street is the beginning of what could be a near-term risk-off phase, then bond prices were generally positive, and it's hard to imagine that we're going to get very much higher bond yields if risk assets generally are selling off. But that should also be one of the factors that could help gold to have a reasonably tight consolidation, because if bonds are rallying and the dollar is rallying, and in fact the yen weakened a little bit in here today, but the yen has been particularly strong, then there is the potential that gold could also take on some safe haven status and might be looked on as a cheap sort of form of insurance if it pulls back very much further. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.